Okay, and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shurim Adaf Yomi. We are now at the beginning of the 14th Perek, Cheresh and Asa Pikachat. And as you see on the sheet, all of the Mishnayot in this Perek are combined together. This is something that happens fairly infrequently in Talmud Bavli, far more frequently in Talmud Yerushalmi, where all of the Mishnayot of the chapter are grouped together at the beginning and then the analysis takes place afterwards. As you'll see, there are four Mishnayot, only the last of which is of any serious length. And the Gemara itself is two daf, so that's going to be two podcasts. So today we'll go through the Mishnah in the beginning of the Gemara, and in the next podcast, we will complete the chapter referring back to the latter part of the Mishnayot. Mishnah Aleph, Cheresh Shenasa Pikachat. You have a Cheresh, marries an able girl. The opposite. Man is able, is perfectly capable, and he marries a chereshet. Remember that according to the Din HaMishnah, a cheresh and a chereshet are not considered b'nei da'at. However, as we mentioned, Chachamim established kiddushin and nisuin d'rabbanan for deaf mutes in order that they should be able to have a married life and be able to raise a family. So, So if in either one of these marriages they want to stay married, that's fine. If they want to get a divorce, that's also fine, because the notion is that however strong was the da'at of the cheresh in entering is the same strength with which they leave or are divorced. Now, k'shem shehu kones b'remiza, kachu motzi b'remiza. This relates to the first case, where if he's a cheresh, just as he marries by signaling and by motioning or whatever, so divorce happens the same way. It's all drabanan. Now, pikeach shenasa pikachat v'nit charsha. This is where it gets sticky. Two healthy people marry each other, and then she becomes a deaf mute, which means that the marriage was of 100% strength, but now the capability of divorce is in question. As we'll see, it's not so much in question. Imratzai yotzei v'imratzai yekayem. He can divorce her or not divorce her. However, nishtatet lo yotzi, but if she becomes an imbecile, she loses her mind, then lo yotzi, he cannot divorce her, because a shota cannot accept gerushin, a chereshet can. We'll see why in a minute. Net chereshu o nishtateh, but if he, they were again perfectly able and healthy when they married, and then he became a deaf mute, or he became an imbecile, eino motzia olamit. He cannot divorce her at any point in either case. Now, this is still Mishnah Aleph. So how come if a woman was capus mentis, and she became a chereshet, she can be divorced, but if a man became a cheresh, he cannot divorce? So you can't compare the two. A woman is divorced whether or not she wants to. It's not up to her, which means we don't need her dot. A man must have da'at to divorce. Therefore, man can divorce somebody who's non-compos mentis. Then, of course, that brings back the question, why can't a man divorce his wife? She's a shota. That's something we'll get to later. Now, the next Mishnah. So he testified about a chereshet who was married off by her father. In other words, it was kiddushin da'oraita. Shehi yotza beget. That the man then decided to divorce her, and she was yotze. Amudu avzuka yotze ba. Chacham said, yes, that's exactly the same case, because we don't care about her dot. As long as she has minimal understanding of what's going on as a chereshet, that's good enough for divorce. And therefore, even though the father married her off, and she was a full kiddushin d'oraita, whether she was a chereshet or not, when the father married her off before she reached the age of na'aru, of bagrut, the kiddushin or doraita, and then when she became an adult and began was a and well, the whole time was a chereshet, when the husband divorced her, that's a fully good divorce too. Good. The next Mishnah. Shnei achin chershin, nisuin l'shtei achayot chershot. Alright, so now we're going to have a series of cases, all involving two brothers. So the first case is, there's six cases, the first case is, two brothers are chershin, they're married to two sisters who are either both chershot, or shtei achayot pikchot, or they're both pikchot, they're both capable, or one of each. In other words, right now we don't care as long as the two brothers are both chershin, which means their kiddushin are weak. Oh, flip it. Shtei achayot chershot nisuin l'shnei achim pikchim. Flip it. You got two sisters who are chershot, who are married to two brothers. Now, of course, to marry two brothers, two sisters, it's going to make up the whole issue of Yibum. Who are married to two brothers or pikchim. Oh, l'shnei achim chershin, or the two brothers are chershin. Oh, l'shnei achim achad chersh v'achad pikiach, or either one. Meaning, as long as one of the four, as long as the two sisters are chershot, we don't care whether the husbands are both pikchim, both chershim, or one of each. Or the flip case is, as long as two brothers are chershim, we don't care if the two girls, any of those three possibilities, really four possibilities, exist. Good. So now, ha-re'elu p'turim min ha-chalitza u'min ha-yibum. Right, so they're patur from chalitza and yibum, meaning when one of the brothers dies, then the other one goes out as a chotisha. Let's say the two sisters were not related to each other. Two brothers are married to two girls. The two brothers are, let's say, chershim, and the two girls are whatever they are, and they're not related to each other, and one husband dies, the other husband is miyabim, and they could, of course, divorce because they're coming from the same strength of marriage of a cheresh that they themselves have. Good. Now, shnei achim, here we go. These are the six cases. Achad cheresh v'achad pikeach. Right, so you got two brothers, one cheresh, one pikeach. Nisuin l'shnei achim v'pikchot. They're married to two sisters of pikchot. Right, so that means that there's only one cheresh in the mix here. Meit cheresh v'al pikachad. Let's say the deaf mute dies. So now what happens? You have a normal marriage, and a pikachad whose marriage was weak falls to this pikeach. Ma'as pikeach v'al pikachad. This is easy. Teitzei mishum achot isha. That's a no-brainer. After all, he's married with a full marriage to a woman, and now her sister falls to him. She's exempt. May pikach bala pikach, but flip it. Let's say that the pikach dies, which means now the pikachat falls to a cheresh who had married her sister, and her sister is perfectly able. But that marriage was weak because it was done by cheresh. Ma yasa cheresh bala pikachat. So watch this. Motzi ishto beget. The first thing is that he has to divorce his wife because his marriage is not so strong as to block out the sister. The sister Zika is strong. On the other hand, he can't marry either one of them. So he has to first divorce his wife, which is a divorce of the same caliber as his original marriage. And now the sister is stuck. She has no solution because he can't give her chalitza. He's a cheresh. He can't be miyabim her because she's achot grushato. And so there's no way out. So now you've got two brothers who are pikchin, and they are married to two sisters. So we just flipped the case. Two brothers are pikchin, they're married to two sisters, one's cheresh, one's pikach. So now, may pikach bal chereshet, this part's easy. If the husband of the chereshet dies, mayasa pikach bal pikachat, so what does the capable guy do? That's easy. This is his wife's sister, Feltum. She's exempt. Finished. May pikeach bal pikeach, but let's say that the pikeach dies. So mayas the pikeach bal chereshet. What does the pikeach who married a chereshet do? So here we have a solution. Motzit ishto beget, because his marriage to the chereshet, remember when a woman accepts kedushin, she needs dat. And therefore, if she's a chereshet, her marriage, which is based on her weak dat, is a weak marriage. Therefore, there's still room for her sister to sort of intervene. So therefore he has to divorce his wife. But since he's a pikeach, he can also give chalitza. So everybody's solved, he just has to divorce. Now, third case. Shnei achin, achad cheresh v'achad pikeach. Two brothers, one of each. Nisuin l'shtei achayot, achad cheresh v'achad pikachat. Married to two sisters, also one of each, and in kind, meaning the cheresh with the chereshet, pikeach with the pikachat. Meit cheresh bal chereshet, let's say that the deaf mute dies. Ma'aseh pikeach bal pikachat. Well, that's easy. The same thing. This is his wife's sister fell to him. Meit pikeach bal pikachat. Now you have the opposite case where the pikeach died. Ma'asa cheresh bal chereshet. So what does the cheresh, who's married to a chereshet, now do? So watch. Motzit ishto beget. He has to divorce his wife. Ve'ishtachiv asura le'olam. And again, his wife's sister is stuck because he can't do yibum on her because she's achot grushato. And on the other hand, he can't do he can't do chalitza because it's a cheresh. Now, shnei achim, fourth case, achad cheresh v'achad pikeach, nisuin l'shtei nochriot pikchot. Right? So you have two brothers, one of each, who are married to two women who are not related to each other, and they're both capable. Meit cheresh, so now we don't have a chotisha anymore. Meit cheresh bal pikachat, if the cheresh dies, maya se pikach bal pikachat, so what does the pikach do? That's easy. His brother's wife fell to him, and the zika is weak, his brother's a cheresh, but that's okay. He can be cholet to miyabin. Meit pikach bal pikachat, what if the pikach dies? So now this other pikachat, this pikachat falls to her husband's brother, who's already married to another woman, doesn't matter who she is, she's not related to her. Mayasa cheresh bal pikachat, what does the cheresh do? Kones veinu motzi le'olam. He has to be miyabin her, because he can't accept chalitza, and he can't give her a get, because she's coming from a full marriage, and that's pushing her into this marriage, and therefore, even though his act of yibum is the act of a cheresh, that's perfectly fine, because yibum is really in the fifth parah, can be done without his full dot, it can be done by korcho. And so therefore, it's a full marriage, but he can't divorce, because it's a cheresh. Remember, a cheresh can only divorce if he is of the same mental status as he was when he married. Alright, so if you have two perfectly capable guys and brothers married to two non-related women, so now the women are one of each. So if the husband of the chereshet dies, what happens? That's easy. She falls to the pikachat. He has to marry her, right? Because she's a chereshet. She can't do chalitza. He has to marry her, but he may divorce her. May pikeach bal pikachat, let's say the pikeach dies. Mayasa pikeach bal chereshet. What does the pikeach who's married to chereshet do? That's easy. After all, his brother's wife fell to him. He's perfectly capable. She came from a capable marriage. The fact that he has another wife who's a chereshet doesn't affect things. He could do either chalitza or yibum. Last case. Shnei achin, achad cheresh v'achad pikeach, nisuin l'shtein achriot. So you got two brothers, one of each, married to two women who are not related to each other. Achat chereshet v'achat pikachat, one of each. Meit cheresh bal chereshet, mayasa pikach bal pikachat. So if the cheresh dies, what does the pikach do? Kones m'ratzal otzi otzi. He cannot do yibum with her. He must marry her because she's a chereshet. But he can divorce her. Meit pikach bal pikachat, mayasa cheresh bal chereshet. If the pikach dies, what does the cheresh do? Kones v'enim otzi le'olam. He marries the pikachat and he can't ever divorce her because it's a cheresh. Now you notice that those six cases are ordered in like ABC and then ABC prime, is that you have the three cases and then you have the same three cases with the two women not being sisters of each other but rather being nachriot. Good, that's the Mishnah, those are the Mishnayot. And now the Gemara. Amaram Barchama. Maishna cheresh v'cheresh kinu l'rabbanan nisuin. Barchama is asking some fundamental questions about the difference between the cheresh and a shota and a katana in all sorts of circumstances. So the first question is, and that's why I listed on the page, as reasons for distinctions. Why is it that cheresh and cheresh, the Rabbanon established a marital process for them? But the Rabbanon never establishes a thing for somebody of diminished mental capacity, a shota and a shota. The Tanya, shota v'katan shenasu nashi umetu, we have a brayta that says, but if a shota marries a woman and dies, their wives are exempt from chalitza and yibum, because the marriage is nothing. So the answer is, cheresh v'cheresh et kamet takant to the Rabbanon, cheresh and cheresh know how to treat each other nicely. And they will fulfill what the Rabbanon had in mind by establishing a nice, beautiful marital home, so it's kin Rabbanon nisuin, so therefore they establish nisuin. Shota v'shota lo kamet takant to the Rabbanon, but shota and shota don't know how to live together. They're not capable of treating each other nice and having a nice home. Therefore, why? A man can't live with a snake in one basket, meaning a man just cannot live in an unendurable situation. And a shota is somebody who's going to be breaking stuff. He's going to be breaking stuff, always messing things up. And therefore, they didn't establish this thing. I mean, these are people who really need full-time caregivers, and that doesn't work. Now, that's the first distinction. Second, why is it the Rabbanon never established nisuin for a minor child? The cheresh kinu rabbanon nisuin, but the rabbanon established it for cheresh. So this now, it devolves in a different area. It is one really of, potential. Cheresh l'ati v'chal nisuin, a cheresh is never going to get better. He's not going to become somebody in normal circumstances who can do nisuin d'oraita. So kinu rabbanon nisuin, therefore the rabbanon established something for him. Katan da'ati v'chal nisuin, but a katan is going to grow up, he's going to become of age. What's going on the story? They didn't have to establish something for a 9-year-old kid. When he's 13 or 15, he can marry. But is that really true? After all, the Rabbanon established Kiddushin Miyun for a young girl who has to get married, and they didn't say let her wait till she's older. Rabbanon Nisuin. The answer is Hatam Shalin Hagubam Min Hakefka. That was because of social policy, because young girls whose fathers aren't alive are often subject to abuse and to being taken advantage of, and therefore the Rabbanon established Kiddushin Miyun for them. The next question is, why did the Rabbanon allow a ketana to, at the age of awareness, or beforehand, to say, I'm not interested in walking out? And a cheresh, they didn't allow that, meaning the kiddushin they set up for a cheresh has to be dissolved only by a get and not by nothing less. The answer is, the imkein memani v'lo naspila. If a guy knows that when he marries a cheresh, she can just walk out on him, he's not going to marry her. The insecurity is too bad. With a ketana, he'll know that if you keep her happy until she comes of age, then it'll be permanent. It's an important distinction. If a kohen marries a ketana, even though kiddushin miyun, she can still eat truma. But if a cheresh kohen marries a cheresh, we don't allow her to eat truma. Tinan he'ir Rabbi Yochanan v'gadol cheresh she'sia avia she'otza abiget. We had this in our Mishnah, but it's part of a Mishnah in Eidiot, and the second half was left out here in Yevamot. He testified that a chereshet, that her father married her off that she left with a get, the aktana by Yisrael, shinsei the coin, shechla b'truma. And aktana was married to a kohen, we assume this is now aktana, kiddush aktana, no father around, that she ate truma. With a chereshet lo achla, but we didn't mention anything about the chereshet eating truma, mashma that a chereshet doesn't. The answer is, gzera shem yachil cheresh b'chereshet. Because it's a gzera that perhaps a cheresh kohen will feed his wife as a chereshet. What do you care about that? Katan ochal nevelotu. Because the concern is that a chereshu is a kohen, marries a chereshet, those kiddushin are weak. And therefore, he really doesn't have the right to feed her truma. But we're saying, so what? After all, the halacha is katan ochal nevelot en beitim mitzumin lahafrisho. If a minor, somebody who's not chayv mitzvot, is violating the law, we're not obligated to stop him. It's not chayv mitzvot. Of course, if he has parents, people will care about him, they will. The same thing here. So a cheresh feeds a cheresh a truma is mad. There's no chiyuv, then a chayv mitzvot. The answer is, gzera shem yachil cheresh b'pikachat. Here's the concern, that a kohen cheresh will marry a pikachat, but those, of course, are weak kiddushin, because he's a cheresh, and then he might feed her truma. Cheresh pikachat nami lecho b'truma d'rabanan, so let her eat truma d'rabanan at least, because after all, I mean kiddushin d'rabanan, so d'rabanan, she's married to him, let her eat truma d'rabanan, which bismana says basically all truma. Gzera d'ma'at d'ocho b'truma d'raita. So this is a very far-reaching zera, is that we do not allow a kohen pikeach who married a chereshet to feed her truma, because the end result will be that a cheresh kohen who marries a pikachat Yisrael may feed her truma d'oraita. Good. But in the case of Akhtana, that's not the concern, because she's going to grow up into a full kedusha. We know that a ketana, if she's divorced, gets a ketuba settlement, and a chereshet doesn't. Why? The answer is the imkei rimani v'lo naspila, because if people know that they have to pay a chereshet ketubah, they won't marry her. In other words, we're aware that marrying a chereshet is something that most men are not going to be interested in, and therefore we want to encourage it. So by eliminating the obligation of ketubah, that makes her more desirable. Uktanam al indeed la ketubah. How do you know a ketana has a ketubah? Did not. You have the following mishnah: ma'enet v'ashnia v'ailunit. A girl is ma'enet, or somebody married a shnia and then he has to divorce her, or an ailonit, in the ktubah, avayotza beget. So a mema'enet walks out, or if a man divorces his wife who's a shnia, who's an isu d'rabanan, an erva d'rabanan, or let's say it turns out she's an ailonit, she doesn't get a ktubah. Avayotza beget, they need a get. Uktana yeshta ktubah. But a ktana, if a man divorces his wife who's 9, 10 years old, she gets a ktubah. How do you know a chereshet doesn't? And you're asking about a distinction. You have to establish both poles, that a chereshet doesn't get, a ketana does get. So we just proved that a ketana does get. How do we know a chereshet doesn't have rights to a ketubah? Etanya cheresh v'shoteh shinasu pikhot. If a cheresh or a shoteh married capable women, even though they got healed, the cheresh recovered his hearing and his speaking. The shoteh suddenly was cured. Ein lahem aleihem klum. The women have no claim on them. If they decide after the capable to stay married, then afterwards they have a ktubah. Upikach shenasa chereshet oshatav filu katav ma'ameh manek ktubata kayemet. But if he pikeach, a capable guy, marry a chereshet or a shota, even if he wrote her a huge sum, ktubata kayemet, it's valid. And Shiratzal is open a chassad. He wants to hurt his own property. That's up to him to mechayiv himself. Now, Tama Duratza, why is it? In which we say that he's chayiv in ktubah, because he voluntarily wrote a ktubah. Halawatza, ainla. But if he didn't want to, she has no ktubah. Right? So in other words, a chereshet does not get a ktubah, does not have rights to a ktubah, unless the husband voluntarily decides to give him, but it's not an automatic like it is with everybody else. The answer is, de'im kerimani v'lo naskubah, because otherwise people will not marry her, if they know that they have big tubah. So yachad bikachat lecheresh litkan lak tubah. So if that's the case, then we should have a special tubah when a cheresh marries a pikachat, right? The imken amanev alone means to be. Because we want the pikachat to be willing to marry the cheresh, and they won't be willing to marry if they know that there's a tubah as security. The answer is, even in that case, yoter mishayish v'tzad lisa, yishar v'tzad linaseh. More than the man wants to marry, the woman wants to marry. In other words, even the pikachat would rather marry this cheresh than not be married. Good, so now we have a story. There was a cheresh in Rav Malchiu's neighborhood, and he was getting married. So Rav Malchiu arranged for him to marry a pikachat. And he had him write a 400 zuz, ktubah minichsei. Who is as wise as this rabbi? Gavarabu is a big man. After all, this Cheresh essentially getting help around his house. And wouldn't he have to pay for that? So he has to pay for this. Here he gets both a wife and that kind of help. This is just a case to support the idea that the Pikachat wants to marry, but you have to offer a big tubah so that it's worth it for to marry this Cheresh. Eshet Cheresh. There's two versions of the statement of Shmuel. One is that if a man has adultery with the wife of a cheresh, he's not chayav an asham talui. An asham talui is something that you bring when you violated something that normally would be a chatat, but you're not sure if you did. For instance, you had two pieces of meat, one was chayav on reshuman, and you ate one by mistake. You thought they're both kosher. And you don't know which one you ate. The other one got thrown away. You have to bring an asham talui. If later you find out it was chayav, then you bring a chatat. Now, here, a man had bia. He thought it was his wife. It turned out that it was his neighbor's wife in some crazy case. But she's an eshet cheresh. She says, you don't have to bring an asham talui. So, perhaps Shmuel holds like this Mishnah that says that there are five kinds of people. It's a Mishnah in the beginning of Trumot. Five kinds of people who shouldn't give truma, separate truma. But if they did, and even if they did, it's not valid. And cheresh etiv akotin, we're familiar with them. Tarmit she'eno shelo, somebody who gets truma from somebody else's field. Somebody else's granary. We have a kochav b'shtar b'shal Yisrael, filu b'shut Yisrael, and our goy separates truma, even if the Yisrael gave him rights to do so, ain't shumato truma. But the main point we're saying is the cheresh. That Mishnah establishes that a cheresh has no dot whatsoever, and if he separates truma, it's meaningless. We don't have to be worried that that stuff may be truma. So the answer is no. Who da amar Rabbi Elazar? Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar. D'tan Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Shmuel Rabbi Elazar. Trumat cheresh lo tetzei l'chulin. If a cheresh separates truma, you have to keep it holy. You have to separate again. But Neshu Safek, as Rabbi Elazar says, a cheresh is a safek having bar dot. So therefore, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar, and then he also says, though, that if a man has bia with a woman, thinking it was his wife or something, and it turns out to be an Neshu Cheresh, he's not Chayev Hashem Talui. So Yisrael or Rabbi Elazar, Hashem Talui, Nami El Chayev. So if that's the case, he should be Chayev and Hashem Talui. The answer is, Ba'ina Chaticha Mishtei Chatichot. That's why I give the case of Chaylev and Shuman. He said that Shmuel holds that to be chayiv and asham talui, it's only a case where you have two objects in front of you, one of them shalisa, one of them shalheter. You thought they were both mutter, you ate one, or you had bia with one, or whatever it is, and you don't know whether it was the mutter or the asher one, and the information's unavailable, then it's an asham talui. But not somebody who is just one person, and we just don't know her status because we don't know how to define a cheresh. So, mi bar Rabbi Elazar chaticha mishtei chatichot. Since when does Rabbi Elazar have such a demand? Time Rabbi Elazar omer koi chayavim achabor shem talui. A koi is a kind of an animal that is some sort of a mixture between a chay and a behemah. Chachamim didn't know what to call it, and therefore you're not allowed to eat its chaylev. And Rabbi Elazar says if you eat its chaylev, you're chayavim achshem talui, which means Rabbi Elazar is willing to say if you have one object And the question is not that I have from object A or object B, but I have from object X, which may be an A and may be a B, I'm chai rasham talui. So he doesn't demand shtei chatichot. So why does Shmuel say you're not chai rasham talui? The answer is Shmuel say Rav Elazar v'chad, or probably Rav Elazar. He agrees with one thing of Rav Elazar, that a chareish has some dat, but he disagrees with him about the other, which is how to define an rasham talui. Ve'eikad amri, there's another version of Shmuel's statement. Amr v'chir v'rashim v'ram Shmuel, eizah chareish chayavim alay rasham talui. The Shmuel said the opposite, that you are chayav rasham talui. Then we bring the challenge from Truma. The answer is Savala Korbalazar. He holds like Korbalazar that Cheresh has some da'at, and therefore he's a Safek, and according to Shmuel, totally accepts Korbalazar, and says that you don't need Chaticha Mishnei Chatichot, and therefore you're Chayav. Now, Bala Rashi has the following. My Tamar Korbalazar has the Chakira. What's Korbalazar's reasoning for saying that if a Cheresh separates Truma, you have to treat it like Truma? Does he have it as a clear understanding that a cheresh always has weak perception? And he's just not sure if it's enough perception to be called a bar daat or not, but it's one level of perception, but we just don't know how perceptive he is. That's possibility one. Or perhaps it's clear to him that he has very weak perception. But that sometimes he floats in and out of being more perceptive or not. Is that which does Rav Elazar hold? So what's the difference? The answer is if a cheresh marries, then according to the first perspective, first approach, he can divorce because whatever weak awareness he has. Then if he has some sort of weak level of perception and that's stable, then whatever level he had when he did Kiddushin, that's the same level that does Gerushin. If you're going to say he floats in and out of greater perception, Kiddushin Matzim Mekadesh, you can be Mekadesh, Gerushin Matzim Megarish. But he can't be Megarish because he might be less comprehending when he does the Gerushin. Right, what's the answer is Teku, that we don't know what Rav Elazar's position is. Of course, our position, like the Rabbanan, is that a Cheresh has stable dat, and therefore he is able to divorce. So, Mirza Hashem, in the next podcast, we will finish the parak, finish our analysis of these Mishnayot.